thank you.
Alrighty, we ready?
Yep.
Alrighty, let's go ahead and get started. Call the meeting to order at 6 p.m. This is Mountain Regional's Administrative Control Board meeting on December the 2nd. Do we have any public input this evening?
No.
No. Chris's wife is in the room. She doesn't have any input for us. So. No public input. Moving on to agenda item 2. I can start with a brief summary. Tonight we're just trying to address a couple changes in the budget that will go in front of council on Wednesday evening. Those two changes are one, the merit increases that Summit County is planning on are...
COLA.
Oh, sorry. You're right. The COLA, the cost of living increases that Summit County is planning on, have been reduced from 2.5% to 2%. Those same COLA, that same 2% COLA is now reflected in our budget, which is typical of how we operate. And then the second change is related to the annual bonus program that we talked about in the last meeting. As much as I appreciate Tim's initiative to try to get that bonus level increase and the board's support for it, I think asking for the increase during a public hearing where we're asking for a rate increase is not the best timing. So I recommend we stick with the current ceiling in our personnel policies, which is $1,000 per employee. After we get through this holiday season and into the first quarter next year, I will take updated personnel policies to council and ask for that change. If they do change it, what we will then do is update our, we'll do a budget amendment later in the year to provision for the ability to offer that higher bonus. So those are the two changes that you'll see in the packet. Lisa's got all those changes highlighted. The additional changes that are highlighted are just those that were presented at our meeting a week or two ago. So with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa or open it up to the board with any questions.
I think Scott addressed the changes the two that we had, unless there are any questions. I don't have anything else to present.
Where do we get the information with, this is Tim Doherty, where do we get the information with regards to establishing the COLA?
From Brian Bellamy, the personnel director. When we went to present to council, Kim Carson, a council member, asked if we would follow what the county was doing for their COLA increase, and that has been our practice to always follow what the county's doing for their COLA. And we were at 2.5, and they were working at that time thinking it was going to be 2. I later confirmed that with Brian Bellamy that they were at 2. So I went ahead and changed ours to reflect what Summit County will be presenting in their budgets and public hearing.
Do we know what his sources of information are?
They use a Wasatch front and back kind of index to see where they are, and it was coming in between 2.5 and 2, and they felt like 2 is the right number.
Okay.
Do we need to make a motion to approve the budget?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to make a motion to approve the budget as restated.
Second.
So that was Ian on the second, or excuse me, that was Tim on the second?
Yes.
Yes. Either way. Pick one.
Got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Perfect.
All right, that wraps up number 2. Any comments, Blaine, from the legal department?
None.
Okay. That's it on number 3. Number 4, I just want to bring everybody up to speed on the continual developments related to the surplus water rate. cutting right to the chase, late last week, it sounds like Andy Garland from Summit Water reached out to Bob Richer, who has been involved in the politics locally for a long time. He was a county council member in years past. Bob Richer contacted Roger Armstrong on the county council and requested that we consider phasing this rate increase in, at which time Roger and Chris Robinson recommended that we hold a meeting, if possible, prior to the budget, the public hearing for the budget on Wednesday night. So tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Chris Robinson, Roger Armstrong, Andy Garland, Dave Thomas, Tom Fisher, myself, Mike Kobe, I believe that's it, will be attending a meeting at the Richens Building. We'll see what Summit Water has to say. I have an idea that I have been working on with Steve and Lisa today to wrap some numbers around, and that idea is that sure, we're willing to phase in the rate increase, but we need something on the back end, and that something is shortening the time frame that the settlement rate would apply. So basically, if we step in the rate and give them the benefit of lower rates now, their surplus water, their settlement surplus water will move to the master agreement rate earlier. So what we looked at today was if we do a single year step, meaning we give them a break next year, and then in 2021 it's at the full $6.40 per thousand, then the settlement rate would expire at the end of 2024 as opposed to the end of 2025. Steve also ran the numbers looking at a two-step and a three-step process. Those similarly bring in the settlement, they expire the settlement rate consistent with the number of steps. So said another way, if they get a break in 2020 and a break in 2021, the settlement rate would expire in 2023. And you see how this is going. Steve ran the net present value of these scenarios, and it's essentially a break even. This could present
break even to us.
A break even to us. That's correct, Bob.
Well, I mean, aren't we in essence loaning them money, for lack of a better term, for the
yes.
while they're getting the lower rates, and then if we look at the time value of money when they have to pay it back, are they anticipating the interest on, for lack of a better term, I'm not a financial guy, but we're basically loaning them money.
Yeah, so Steve has in there a 1.5% discount rate, which we feel is appropriate based on the PTIF accounts that we have where that money would set. So that is correct, Tim. That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, so they get savings in however many years at the beginning, but they basically pay it back at the end is how it works out. So we end up with the same amount of we end up with a little more cash because of the net present value, but we get less now and more later, which talking with Lisa, that could actually help our debt service ratio as we move forward, because we're great for right now, but this will give us more cash and revenue in future years that's a little more where we might need it more, let's say, so it actually could benefit the district in helping us be able to postpone our rate increase even further, because we'll be getting the cash in years where we'll really need it, let's say, or more likely to need it.
Does it affect our ability, like, let's say today the rate is $6 and whatever, let's say next year or the year after, that surplus, does it prevent the surplus rate from going up based on what the lowest rate is to our customers?
So the model that we're using is that that this surplus rate will now be tied to our retail rate structure.
Okay.
So if we don't have a retail rate increase, then it just remains at 640. If we do have a retail rate increase, that poses a challenge that I think we'd have to work through and provision, and whatever, if we have to amend the settlement agreement, you know, we'd have to talk to that, because you're absolutely right, Karen. You know, at currently, looking at this revenue, we don't expect to have a rate increase through, you know, through 2025, but, you know, everything changes. Things can change. But that was one approach that I thought could present a you know, could present a win-win.
And do we have any indication that that would be something that they would accept? And have they thrown out any straw proposals, or are we flying blind here?
We're flying blind. So I won't bring anything out of my bag until I find out what it is that they're asking for, but I'm just trying to prepare for a response from, you know, from the district.
Right.
Do Dave or...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, what I was curious about is, obviously the settlement water has been at a fixed rate for how many years now?
Well, it increases, it has increased on the order of 5% a year or so since it started. It basically just follows the increases in our variable operating expenses. So lease fees, which is not an operating necessarily expense, but lease fees and cost of our personnel, things like that.
So the settlement water has?
That's correct, Bob.
Okay, and then surplus water, how long have we actually been selling them surplus water?
Since 2016, I believe.
Okay, and has it been up until this year that's been at a flat rate?
No, that has also increased every year.
Okay.
But it's at the same rate as the settlement water rate? Right?
Yeah, it is followed more or less the same rate.
Yeah.
More or less the same price as settlement water. Okay.
So, Scott, over a year ago, you were showing a graph that was kind of giving your indication of where you believe that Summit Water is with regards to having enough water rights to be able to serve their customers, whatever the case was. Yeah, I think you were doing that just as a check on just seeing what the relative health was of the other water companies.
Okay.
Remind me where Summit Water stood in that analysis.
So what I likely showed was I was looking at growth in the basin, and I was including growth that Summit Water would expect in their district, basically the Canyons Village being the primary focal point. And I was also considering the lack of source that they appear to have through concurrency. I believe that's the chart you're referring to, Tim. I don't have the concurrency numbers in front of me. What I can say is that next year we'll provide 1,100 acre feet to Summit Water. That's about 2,500 rooftops for Mountain Regional. They have said they don't need all of it, but they certainly need some of it, otherwise we wouldn't be in this position. So that's the best I can give you as far as a ballpark estimate without looking at the concurrency data from last year.
Okay, the only reason I was asking is because, generally speaking, from a customer service or financial perspective on there, I don't know enough about Summit Water and what their ability is to pay a higher rate, say 3 years down the line or 4 years down the line.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to be in a better position to pay the lower rate up front. But when it comes time to have to pay the higher rate, is at the end of the day, even though it might be their scenario on there, are we looking like we've got a thumb on the scale for their viability?
I think you bring up a great point, and I don't think anybody really knows is the problem. Park City has the same concern. And if you think about this timing, not only will they be paying higher rates to us to recoup the, you know, to pay back the loan, as you put it earlier, Tim, but they're also going to be paying higher, they're going to be paying Park City's rate for a greater percentage of the water that they need.
That's exactly my point on here, is that if, you know, we're trying to be good neighbors and everything, but if they're deferring higher costs to the time where they're going to be less likely to be able to pay those higher costs without having exorbitant rate increases on their own customers, I'm just wondering what, if we're deferring the higher payments to them to a time when they're least likely to be able to pay it. Now, I don't know if it helps us any to charge them a higher rate up front here, but my point is that it looks as though we're trying to get a workable solution for everybody, but I kind of question whether this is really the better approach for us, other than just trying to reach an agreement.
I think you bring up a good point.
I don't know if I articulated it well.
Did Summit Water, given that it's a shared sort of, it will be a few different classes, maybe more of shared, do they have to go to anybody to increase their water rates to their customers?
You know,
I don't know.
That's kind of been what we've heard.
I don't know that for a fact. They had a rate increase last year of 3% or 3 to 5%. I don't remember voting on that. I'm a Summit Water shareholder, but that could have been before the lawsuit happened. I don't know when that happened.
There's been a lot of talk of them not being able to get have a shareholder meeting, and I don't know if that's because they're not getting enough people to attend or what the scoop is. And I to answer your question, Bob, I just don't know.
What I would suggest is,
all I can say is that to me, compared what Summit Water customers pay to what we pay, and if you assume that our rates are affordable, then they have an awful lot of room to raise their rates.
I agree.
And it doesn't mean they have a willingness, but.
So the point I'm trying to make here is if we start out at some sort of rate that's close to what they're paying right now and have this sliding scale that goes out there, we don't necessarily have to start at the rate that they're talking about, but we could use the same general approach, but we'd have to have a starting rate in the near term. And I think the financial analysis is the same. Mm-hmm. It just has a higher starting rate. And we don't know what they're going to be pitching right now, but it's probably going to be something close to what they're paying right now, I guess.
Yeah, my guess is that plus 5% or so, which would be typical for how we've done it in the past.
So do you need any kind of guidelines from the board with regards to any negotiation room that you could have, or are you just going to try to negotiate something and bring it back to the board and see if you can get concurrence?
I do not need anything from the board at this time. You know, Mike and I will be there to hear him out, and I think that we'll, you know, we're going to attempt to do some negotiating, and like you said, Tim, we'll bring it back to the board for approval, or not.
Okay. You have multiple options here, right?
Yeah.
You explain that to them.
You know, to give you, just to give you some ballpark senses here as far as starting points, I've got the numbers in front of me here. without muddying the waters too much, there's a settlement rate that we have proposed for next year that is 13% increase compared to last year. That is related to just the operating costs with bringing water up from Lost Canyon through the treatment plant and to them. Assuming that rate holds, we have a starting point with our first one-step option. The starting point is $5.80, and then it goes to $6.40. The two-step option would start at $5.35, go to $6.10, go to $6.40. The three-step option would start at $5, go to $5.65, go to $6.15, go to $6.40.
I thought we needed at least $5.50. Right. I thought there was a floor that was higher than $5.35.
Well, we just did the refinance on the debt, so with five, we're still okay.
But these are just draft numbers that, you know, that we threw together this afternoon to get a sense of what we might be dealing with. But I think, you know, Tim, I think you bring up an excellent point. I don't know how we get to the bottom of that, but it's something that we can certainly talk about tomorrow.
Well, we don't necessarily have to get to the bottom of it. I mean, all we're doing, if you're talking about what their viability is, I agree with Bob, they've got a lot of room to move, and whether they will move or not is anybody's guess. But we don't have to start somewhere close to a 4% increase on that floor. We could start in that neighborhood of 550. It should still help them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It works in the same model, I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
As you start the...
We just know that if we only do the one step, we really can't go lower than 580. So if they want a price below 580, they've got to give up multiple years of the settlement water on the back end. Yeah. If they want more savings up front. And then if they do become a credit risk, and fail, well, first of all, I think as long as Weber Basin takes the money we're collecting from Weber Basin, I would hope, and they'd be having to collect from Summit Water. And ultimately, I know it would be a lot of work, but instead of selling it to them for $6.40, we'd be selling it to their customers for what our customers pay, about $12. So there is some danger in maybe a year of them not paying and we're having to collect from Weber Basin or something, but I think their creditworthiness, although a concern, I think long run we'd be okay.
I think they just raised their rates long before they...
I think that's what they need to do. It just gives them time.
Before they fail.
I don't feel like we have the appetite to want to go through
that again, but yeah, I don't think there's a...
Bob just asked you to say it again.
Can you just speak up a little bit, Karen?
Well, I just, you know, based on the history with them, I don't think that we have any appetite to want to go through a condemnation or anything else with those guys just because they're so litigious.
So they were saying that Karen suggested they would just raise the rates.
Well, keep us apprised of what you hear.
I will do that. Any other questions or comments on that?
I guess just sort of a process question at this point, Scott. So you'll have this meeting. If you don't change anything, then I presume it sails through to the meeting on the 4th with the general budgeting hearings. Mm-hmm. If you do agree to a change, then you've got to come back to the board, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And then we'd have to modify our budget for the meeting on the 4th?
No, so what I would recommend that we do is we request approval of the budget in its current state from the county council, and we just do an amendment next year to make any adjustments that are needed.
Okay, and that will fly with them?
I assume it will.
I don't think we'll have enough time between tomorrow morning and Wednesday to know anything to be able to adjust it to other than what we have in the budget currently. So I think that will, could take some time if there is some negotiating, and then we can make a subsequent adjustment in 2020, or a budget amendment.
Yeah.
But this just affects the revenue side, right?
Right.
Yep.
Well, two members of council are going to be at this meeting tomorrow, so they're already going to be appraised of the situation before the stuff that would happen on the 4th anyway.
Yeah, I think thinking through the process, we'll have a discussion tomorrow. I'll bring the findings of that discussion back to the board at our December 12th meeting. And if the board, you know, determines to approve some sort of step-in increase, my understanding is that we don't need any sort of hearing so long as we're not increasing the rate. So the board can approve whatever, if changes are to be approved, the board can approve them so long as it doesn't increase the rate. And then next year we'll handle the budget amendment.
Okay.
And then the meeting on Wednesday, is that the library?
It's at the, yep, Richens building on Wednesday evening. We're last on the out of the service districts. So the public input period starts at 6, and then it's Basin Rec, North Summit Fire, Park City Fire, and then us, I think. I think we're...
So I get up dinner and then...
Yeah, we don't know how quick it's going to go through. We expect Basin Rec to take some time because that's their public hearing for the tax increase. But sometime that evening after 6 o'clock, we'll be on. If there's nothing else, if there are no other questions on that, then we're ready to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
We got a second?
Second.
All right, all set. Thank you very much.
Have fun.
Hey. Good luck.
All right,
good luck, Scott.
Yeah.
Jim Doherty.
Has left.